What could your church look like if you had a team of gifted ministers, anointed teachers, passionate, dedicated ministers who are fulfilling the Great Commission and the Great Commandment in and through your local church? Doesn't that sound exciting? Doesn't that sound like a church you want to lead? Well, today on the Five Gifts podcast, we're going to talk about how to raise up an army of gifted, empowered, and anointed ministers to release the five gifts to the local church.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're a couple of empty nesters this week, or at least maybe emptier nesters. I know my wife and I helped our daughter move back to college last week, and she's beginning her senior year. So we're excited about what the Lord is doing in her life. But Charles, tell us about your week.
Well, we're kind of in a similar position. We're not empty nesters. We still have a sophomore in high school at home with us, but our oldest daughter, sophomore in college, we moved her in this weekend. And so those are always bittersweet moments, excited for their current learning and the future for her. But man, it's always a sad goodbye as we leave. But nevertheless, time marches on and we march with it. And so here we are today on the Five Gifts podcast, talking about the teaching gift. Really impacts discipleship and ministries within the local church. So that's what we're going to be talking about, raising up and developing disciples, ministers, really just releasing those gifts into the life of the local church. So I think we just need to get right into it. Bruce, any words of introduction that you could offer for us today regarding the teaching gift?
I will say, I think the teaching gift is probably, the most hands-on of the leadership mm-hmm. gifts when it comes to equipping the body. All the gifts equip the body, but I think the teaching gift has that more hands-on feel. It's the more resonant. That really is the focus of the teaching gift. While the others accomplish it, I think it's important for us to look at the teaching gift today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Man, the teaching gift is critical. And so it's vitally important in the life of the local church. And I think there's some misconceptions that oftentimes we think of when we talk about the teacher. And so maybe you could kind of clear some of that up for us and get us on a right path of thinking and dreaming and looking forward with the teaching gift in the church.
Sure. We talk about misconceptions, and they touch all of the gifts. I think when someone thinks of a prophet, they may be thinking mm-hmm. of, the foreteller, someone that's telling the future. The apostle certainly has, I think, some misconceptions that we try to address here in our podcast. But the teacher gift definitely has, I think, some misconceptions, because it's associated with teaching, the act of teaching, whether it's in mm-hmm. a classroom, whether it's involved in lecturing. But teaching really serves learning. I don't think teaching is complete as a gift unless it's actually transforming people. So, I just said, and the teaching gift is that hands-on gift for equipping individuals in Christ's body. And it's not only a content-rich kind of a role where you're teaching great stuff, whether you're teaching the Bible or principles of discipleship. It's more than the content, and the content needs to be good, but it's also relationship-focused. And so if you think about the teaching gift, it's geared toward transforming lives, but it has to include strong relational bonds. So transformational teaching has to work on co-creating relationships between leaders and learners. And so one of the things that come to mind is just the way the New Testament talks about that dynamic of teaching. And it doesn't just use teaching. It uses a lot of different vocabulary to describe that role of the teacher in transforming lives. And one of them is training. That's probably one of the more common words in the New Testament to capture that concept in teaching. It's the word paideion. It simply means training, and it's used at least 23 times in the New Testament. And paideia means child. It actually means son, but it can refer to sons or daughters. But it literally means paideion literally means togethering with a child or togethering with your son or your daughter. And the idea was that conveying of upbringing or guiding or educating or instructing or teaching, if you will, a son or a daughter. So when you think of how Paul uses that in a lot of his writings, training is a principle that's used in God's spiritual family as well. It conveys training spiritual children. So I was just thinking about Titus 2:12, how Paul announces that God works through grace, which we think of grace being a salvation, a redemptive thing, but it's that full scope of God's empowerment, God's enablement. And Paul describes how God's work through grace, through gifting, leads to training, or the paideo, the training of spiritual sons and daughters. And in this case, in Titus 2:12, it's to train them to renounce ungodliness, to repent and turn from worldly passions, and to live in the fruit of the Spirit, things like a self-controlled life, an upright life, a godly life. And so the idea is that God works in the development of spiritually growing and maturing people through that loving attention of spiritual leaders. That's why we say teaching is a relational, demands a relational bond that's really important. I mean, just like the child needs security and safety of acceptance, they need love. Well, those growing spiritual sons and daughters need that emotional anchor in their life that comes through those supportive relationships. And so a lot of this material, I'm just thinking this, it was part of my dissertation, but, mm-hmm. You know, that idea of training, it's interesting how, like in 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul describes those support roles and compares them to spiritual parents. In fact, he's mm-hmm. real specific in chapter 2. He talks about the role in their spiritual formation and of the Thessalonians through his leadership team, like Paul and Timothy and Silas and Titus and different ones. He says, we were like mothers to you that nurtures her child. We nourished, we gave you a familiar, trusted presence. And so you get the idea that they're teaching, their training embodied a trusted voice. It demonstrated support. It was vocal, but it was also personal and encouraging. And in the same way, he turns around and says, and we were like fathers to you. That's again, 1 Thessalonians 2. In fact, let me read verse 11 and 12. He said, you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. So whereas the maternal characteristics aid spiritual formation by bringing a presence and a warmth, a father, a spiritual father, in teaching brings encouragement and decisiveness. And so you see the importance that kind of the textures that go into building those relationships. It's very interpersonal. It's not just preparing a message or a you know, working with the curriculum. It's about being a presence in the lives of people. And so we say the teaching role is so important because when it's not present, when that anointing on teaching is lacking, the good learning environment where there's good content and strong relationship, then what happens is you have a church of immature, weak leaders. They don't have spiritual power, and they're not ready to equip or release empowered ministers in the body. But when they do, that's the exciting thing. And Charles, you talked about this in your introduction, and it got me fired up because, you know, the spiritual result of strong teaching or let me say a strong teaching gift or a strong teaching anointing, when that enablement of the Spirit is working powerfully and that we're activating that gift with not only with ourselves, but with our leaders, then what happens is the church becomes mature. We find strong teachers that are training and releasing mature leaders and disciples who really work and build Christ's kingdom in his church. And that's the exciting thing. That's the spiritual result. So Charles, I know you have some thoughts on this. Those are some of the high points. What would you say are strategies that should be part of that teaching mission?
Absolutely. I think one thing, though, that you really highlighted for us, Bruce, is the idea, or the truth, rather, of the teaching gift really functions optimally in a community environment, in a place where people are relationally connected, and so I'm still thinking on the first thing you led with about the idea of training, about togethering with a child, mm-hmm. or I think that could probably even be togethering with each other, or togethering with the apprentice or the mentee or the disciple. Training up and raising up is so much more effective and powerful in a relationally connected environment. And the thought that just keeps coming to me is, our, at least in my experience, education and learning has been very transactional. In other words, mm-hmm. there's a teacher who disseminates information, and as a student, I receive the information. And so there's a transaction that's taken place. But when we begin to move learning into more of a relationally connected environment, I think learning becomes less transactional and it becomes more transformational for the student and for the teacher, because there is learning on both ends. There's the sharing of ideas. And so now it's not a static relationship from that a lecture often gives us from teacher to student, but now it's there is a back and forth. There's a dynamic relationship between teacher and student, or teacher and a group of students. I'd go back to my master's degree. That was the most powerful time of learning in growth that I've had or that I've ever experienced in an educational environment. And it was all based and predicated on not on a transactional kind of platform, but we're gathered in the room. Now, certainly there are lectures and information has to be taught, but it was rooted and grounded in relationship. That was first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, that was, again, I'm not trying to beat a point to death here, but that was by far the most transformational time in my life in an educational environment. And it was because the learning was transformational, not just transactional. We were not there just to receive some information. We received the learning, but it was processed in a group environment through a relationally connected environment. And so, man, I think you've started us off certainly in the right direction.
Well, Charles, I know you're going to get into some strategies, but I just had to say, I think what you're sharing and what you observed, like in your master's cohort, and I think we've probably both seen this in the church, especially because we understand the teaching gift is this way. Mm-hmm. It's never flat. It's never lecturer listener. It's always textured. There has to be not even ending with the relationship between a teacher and a learner, but the other learners that are in the room. Mm-hmm. We learn from one another. We learn through people's reflection. We learn through their examples and their stories and their testimonies. And that's just a fact. I mean, God has ordained that people contribute to our spiritual growth. That's a huge thing. And I don't think we should move too quickly from that. But however you want to move on from that, but I just want to make that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the word that you're using, texture, adding texture in into this process of learning and discipleship. It's more nuanced, I think, than we want to give it credit for. Again, the default is just simply, well, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to give you my notes. But there's so much more nuance in the transformation, in the discipleship and discipling process. Well, let's talk about some strategies. I mean, we could probably stay there for the entire episode, but let's give a few strategies in activating and exercising the teaching gift. First action that we want to do as teachers, as disciples, as ministers, is we want to, Pastor, we want to begin to invite the teaching empowerment of Christ to form and transform all the people of God into powerful ministers. What does that look like? It's very simple. It's prayer. All of these gifts, they all initiate in prayer. All five gifts initiate in prayer. It's the first action, the first step. It's the place where we want to begin in all five gifts. And today, in the teaching gift, we initiate in prayer. We want to invite the teaching anointing of Christ to form and transform all the people of God into powerful ministers. I know that's a desire that you have, we have for your church, or for the churches where we serve or have served in the past. God, raise up a mighty team of powerful, gifted, anointed ministers. And so as the leader, as the pastor in the church, or as a leader who's helping to lead the church, that's where we begin. Let's begin praying. Let's begin inviting. Let's begin asking that Christ would form and transform the people in our churches into powerful ministers with his anointing, by his empowerment, by his spirit. And so we begin in prayer. Second thing, and it's not that we pray and then we move on. We pray and we continuously pray throughout all of these strategies. So we're continuing to pray. And then in addition to praying, secondly, we want to identify and recruit disciples into a discipleship process that aims for spiritual formation and growth in Christ. So as we're praying now, we're going deeper in the process. We're beginning to identify. Once we've identified, we're beginning to recruit those disciples, and we want to put them in process. Now, I'm just going to make a suggestion here. Certainly, it's not written in stone, but if you'll go back to some of our episodes where we talked about leadership and developing leaders, we talked about a strategy there called the Leadership Railroad. I think that railroad it fits in very nicely here in the discipleship process as well. And if you remember that railroad in developing leaders, we want to spiritually form them. Remember, that was the bedrock, kind of the granite, the gravel, the foundation of it all, building people spiritually. There was a track for new information, new knowledge. There was another track for new experience, new ministry. And then the cross ties that held it all together is reflection, a dynamic reflection with a mentor. I think that model for developing leaders fits very nicely here as a discipleship model as well. Again, it is a relationally connected environment, and so it keeps people in relationship, and it keeps people growing, and it puts them in process where they can be formed spiritually, and their character can be formed. It gives people a rail to learn new information, new knowledge about Christ, about the Scriptures, about this new life in Christ. Another rail to begin to learn or to begin to exercise new experience in new ministry and exercising their gifts. They're identifying gifts, and now they're exercising and they're experimenting in these new gifts. And then we have a pastor or a director or a leader there who acts as that mentor for dynamic reflection, the cross ties, who in that relationally connected environment keeps this entire discipleship process connected. So I'm not telling you it's the only way. I'm not telling you it's the best way. I'm just saying I think it fits nicely. If you're looking for a strategy for discipleship, I just it's just my opinion. I think that leadership railroad fits nicely here as a tool, as a strategy for discipleship. So as you're looking to begin to flesh out this second action in the teaching gift, maybe consider that leadership railroad as a piece as you're building up the system and fleshing out the gift. Let's see. Number three, a third action that we can take as we're leading the teaching gift in the church. We want to gather disciples into smaller units. You can, you know, the culture of your church. So you know how people respond. You may categorize people by age or by need, however you decide to organize those groups, but gather these disciples into smaller units. And in those smaller groups, they're going to learn biblical truth. So again, there's that new knowledge, new information piece, biblical truth, biblical behaviors, and there's going to be accountability there in these groups. And so again, we've identified and we've recruited the disciples. We're bringing them into a relational process of learning. And in this process, there's new knowledge, there's new experience, and there is relational accountability that's all taking place so far in these first three steps. Fourth action would be this. We want to equip and empower disciples to identify, develop, and utilize their gifts. Listen, we're not just inviting people into a smaller group just to kind of sit around and sing kumbaya. That may be enjoyable, but there's purpose to why we're doing this. There's purpose to this relational infrastructure that we're building. We want to help people. We want to empower these disciples to be able to identify, to develop, and to utilize their gifts. Christ has given us all gifts, and we want people having the ability, again, to identify those gifts. Which gifts are inherent in me? None of us possess all the gifts. Like we said before, it takes about three of us to make one Jesus. So what are the couple, two, possibly three gifts that are resident within me or within these disciples? Let's help them to identify those. Let's help them to develop those. And then let's help them to utilize, to exercise, to operate in those gifts. And then the fifth and final action, as we're building this system with these teaching gift strategies, we want to direct teaching leaders to access the gifts given to them to meet the spiritual and human needs of disciples. And so the leaders that are positioned and that are in place to help and to utilize this process, we want to give them the encouragement. We want to give them the authority as well to say, hey, look, use the gifts that are given, and through those gifts we're going to meet spiritual needs, and we're also going to meet the human needs of these disciples. So a few kind of first strategies. We've got about five there, I believe, to begin building out and forming up a system whereby the teaching gift can flow through. We just believe this will turn into, this will develop into a system that again, like you've talked about, Bruce, we're togethering through this system, and it brings life. It brings releases the life of Christ into the disciple and into the local church, and through the church into the community. Again, as powerful, anointed, gifted ministers are being raised up through this relational discipleship process. That's what the teaching gift does, and releases ministers that just raise the church to new levels in partnership with the gifts of Christ. Mm-hmm. So as we've talked about that, and we think about that, there is a dynamic element, as there is in any relationship, kind of a back and forth, if you will. Bruce, what are some areas where we could begin to think about meeting spiritual needs and human needs, and kind of facilitating this back and forth dynamic relationship in the teaching gift?
Charles, you brought up some fantastic things, I think, when you talk strategies. And if I was listening carefully, and you know, with every strategy, you're just building in that texture that we talk about. You're building in that environment. We've often thought about classrooms being the place where learning happens. No, learning happens in the environment you create, and it has to be relational. It has to be intentional. And I just thought you addressed that perfectly. And you're right. There are some spiritual movements that needs to take place in discipleship or teaching. But there's also some human movements. So we're going to talk about some of those. And what we imply is that as the leader, you're moving back and forth between some spiritual dynamics, if you will, the spiritual resources of God, to make disciples, to raise up fully formed, devoted followers of Jesus. And also those human steps, those things that we have to do intentionally that work on getting people from where they are to where they're growing in Christ. So I would say the first one has to be the scriptures. I mean, that God has given us the scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation. As Paul tells Timothy, this word is inspired of God. It's God-breathed, and it's able to equip us for every good work. So let's start there. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's focus on those scriptures that highlight the principles for growing others in Christ, in his character, in his nature, also his ministries. You know, Charles, we're not just talking about turning out people that live like Jesus, but we want to create and form and shape and see people transformed into people that are doing what Jesus did as well. So both in their character and in their ministry. So that's the spiritual side, highlighting scriptures that speak and to those kinds of transformation and growth issues. But on the human side, you want to move into identifying those growth steps. What does it look like? What are the outcomes that you're wanting to work toward with your people? And so you work on building that relationship, and you take the scriptures. That's kind of the spiritual movement. But then on the human side, you want to target those growth steps. Charles, what would you say would be another we might call it a continuum between spiritual and human movements?
Sure. So you've led us down the pathway of scripture, and obviously we want to highlight scripture in the development of these new disciples and leaders, ministers. I think another critical component would be pointing out the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit to transform all disciples. There has to be a clear understanding that the Holy Spirit and it's the supernatural working. I think that's a word that needs to be highlighted and needs to be included. Listen, again, we've said repeatedly, we're not ashamed of our Pentecostal Spirit-filled heritage, and that's who we are. And so as we lead the church, as we're forming disciples, in that forming up of the minister, he or she needs to have a clear understanding that the Holy Spirit supernaturally works, and through the supernatural working, disciples are are transformed. And so that, I mean, that would be a huge spiritual component of the teaching gift, forming up ministers and leaders in the church. Again, having a clear understanding of the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit, a human element of that, of gaining and embracing that understanding would be placing a focus upon application and demonstration of scriptural truths in a safe, accountable, small group. Again, the teaching gift works best, I believe, in a relationally connected environment. And so if we're going to train up, if we're going to together the teaching gift in our local churches, then a great way for people to embrace and understand the idea that the Holy Spirit is supernaturally working to transform us is to have people in a small group, a small group, a relationally connected group, and allow them the safety and the space to practice exercising spiritual gifts. As Bruce is one of our mentors likes to say, look, it's just us chickens in here. All right. So, you know, you can be yourself and don't be afraid to mess up. I think that's one of the biggest hindrances for people is a fear of I'm going to mess up. Well, guess what? We're all going to mess up and get it wrong. Most people I know never get it right the first time, with anything, not just spiritual gifts, but a great human element is form some small groups and train people. Do this. Let's do this together in a small group environment and give people space to trust Jesus and to follow Jesus. And then, you know, you have someone there who's leading the group that can bring some correction, that can bring people, can make some course corrections and help gently guide as we are learning together, training together in the operation and the gifts of the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit that transforms not just our lives, but the local church and communities that Christ has established for us to reach. So that would be a human and spiritual element.
That's good. Charles, I think, you know, I think it was last week we talked on, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we shared the healing prayer model.
Mm-hmm.
You want to learn to pray for the sick in a safe place. You want to learn, you want to work on it and you need that trusted, safe space to allow yourself some mercy and grace to begin to step out and allow those gifts that are needed in ministry to begin to come out. I would say one more, and it does in terms of another spiritual movement related to the Holy Spirit. It's cultivating and stirring the knowledge and the wisdom gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah,
to invite that kind of an atmosphere. I think we have to create that. We talk about creating learning environments, and you want that learning environment to be empowered by the Spirit. And so, you know, those accompanying gifts in teaching is the word of knowledge, discernment, word of wisdom. I think those flow well. In fact, how many times have you been in a teaching mode where, just as you're teaching, something comes fresh and new to you, and you realize, well, that's probably a word of wisdom happening as you're teaching. Mm-hmm. It also happens with the listener. Now, I know a lot of people like to call that illumination, but who's to say wisdom and illumination? There's much separation between those. I don't think there is. You want that in the learning environment, and you would be surprised how, when you engage people in things like discussion and dialogue and sharing and reflection, you'll see those wisdom gifts activated. And so you want to create that environment for that. That's the spiritual movement. Mm-hmm. On the human side, you want to create those those attractive learning opportunities that facilitate discipleship for all age groups. You want to make sure you can target every generation in your church with some kind of learning opportunity that is, as Charles mentioned, it's relational. I would also say don't be afraid to do rich Bible study. I mean, I think that's sometimes the missing thought in doing Bible study. You know, I'm afraid we get enslaved to curriculum, and while curriculum can be good, how much value is actually placed on learning the Bible? What does the Bible say? And so I think when you create those learning opportunities for every generational age group, I think that's definitely a human movement that we need to take. Charles, is there anything else you would add before we close and wrap up today?
We want strong, gifted, anointed, empowered ministers being raised up in our church, being released in the church, and doing ministry in the community. And I'm just convinced that doing all this training, all this togethering, when it happens in a relational environment, it's just so much more powerful and effective and dynamic. So that would be my affirmation and encouragement. Is pastor, leader, as you're thinking about how to flesh out and form out this teaching gift within your local church, please, 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 I beg you, do it in a relational environment so that the learning and that the development is not transactional, but that it remains transformational in the life of those you're forming and in the life of the church that you're leading.
Amen. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. We always encourage you to like, follow, subscribe, and share. Also leave us a comment. You're welcome to reach out to us by email, but we also really appreciate your comments in the sections below. If you want more information on spiritual growth or maybe developing in your own ministry or maybe outside of the local church, you can reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com. He also has a website that's geared toward people in the marketplace, and that's charlesrusselltraining.com. And you'll find that Charles is able to put together a customized strategy that fits you, it fits your lifestyle, and it fits your context. And so we encourage you to take advantage of Charles's resources. You can also reach out to me at coachingcardia.com. And I do a lot of personal coaching, and we can work with you as an individual. We can also work with your team, whether it's in the local church or outside the local church. And we're excited about helping you grow and develop your full kingdom potential. We'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts podcast. Have a blessed week.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.